Might as well get the elephant in the room out of its cage. I had a little surgery here this week, and everything went great. I don't know if it hurts you to look at me, but it doesn't hurt me a bit to look at you. So I don't feel sorry one bit. The elders told me this morning in our shepherding meeting, just tell the church you ought to see the other guy. You know, but I told them my wife looks pretty good, and I don't think that would work here this morning. But I would like to thank Greg Postal for stepping in last Sunday and preaching for me. I very much appreciate that, Greg. But I also like to thank Greg's oldest daughter, Shara, for giving me our sermon introduction this morning. Because a couple of weeks ago, Shara flew in for Thanksgiving to be with her family. And upon landing at Port Columbus, she posted this Facebook post on her page in which she says, "Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays." And I don't know if you can see where Shara had flown in from. Can anyone see where she had departed? Orlando International Airport, because Shara works at, wait for it, Shara works at, where does Shara work at, Greg? Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. And yet, when Shara landed at Port Columbus in the frigid weather, what did she post? Did she say, "Doggone it, have to leave the happiest place on earth to go visit the folks"? Is that what Shara posted? No. She posted, "Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays." Because there is no place like home for the holidays, especially after you've been away for a while. Now, that's why over 54 million folks in this country who traveled home for the holidays this last Thanksgiving believed to be true. Over 54 million in our country traveled because they weren't where they wanted to be. Where they wanted to be for Thanksgiving was where? Home. There's no place like home. And who knows how many more of them will be traveling home for Christmas. Some who just got back home for Thanksgiving. Think of this. They'll be back on the road fighting whatever traffic or storm or obstacle will present itself on that week, next week. They'll be back home for Christmas. Why is that? Because the pull to go home is so very, very strong. The pull to, among other things, sit in your favorite chair. I didn't even know if this chair worked. I was taking a big gamble on that, but boy, it kind of fits. When you trustees take this off the stage, my house is right across the parking lot here. But I mean, there is no place like home, amen? And to sit in your favorite chair and to see your stockings hung by the chimney with care. And to know that all your family and friends are going to be there. Man, there's no place like that. Lynn, would you get me my pipe and slippers, please? For most of us, there's just no better feeling in all the world. It truly is a pull upon us to get there. The longer we're away from there, the more we want to go back there. Now, I do need to say this morning, as we begin this new Christmas series, not everyone feels that way, and I understand that, because there are some people who did not have a good home experience, and we could have some of you here, and you just thank God that you live to escape from your home, and the last place on earth you dream of going back to is home. In fact, I spoke to a feller this past week. He broke down on our church parking lot, and he confided in me as I was driving him around to get his truck fixed. He's trying to raise a couple of kids that are not his own, but they'd been abused. And one of them had been thrown up against a wall and had to be hospitalized with several broken ribs and a concussion and bleeding on the brain. And he's just a little fella. And this man asked me if I'd read about it in the papers, and I was happy to tell him that I had not. That sounded terrible. And if that was the kind of home life you grew up in, I want to start out with this little disclaimer. If you were abused in any way, The rest of us want to apologize to you because we're truly sorry that we're even bringing up bad memories for you in this new Christmas series that we're entering into. But we also want to welcome you into a great church family where you can experience family as family was intended to be lived. Amen? We want you to have a good church family, and we'll have folks waiting on you in the back of this room at our beginning point table with open arms to receive you at the end of this service and to show you how you can begin to know Jesus in this church family, and you can come to believe in him, and you can choose to become a follower of his, and you can join us in trying to build up his kingdom and trying to let everyone know about Jesus and let everyone know they can experience this kind of a church family as well. This could be a place that they could call home. Now, that's why we put what we did on our outside signboard for Christmas this year. So everybody driving up and down Dayton Road would know that Licking Valley is a place they can call home, a home for the holidays. If they don't have a home they can go home to, they certainly are welcome to come home for the holidays with us. And don't let that word holiday throw you. I know some Christians get all bent out of shape about this. Holiday is from an old English word that meant holy day. And it's been corrupted a bit, and today we just call it a holiday. But it's short for holy day. And what better place to spend your holy day than in church with a church family? And the holy day that's fast approaching at this time of the year is Christmas. It's just 9 days away. Just think of that. Christmas is just 9 days away. I hope that doesn't scare anybody. Does that take anybody's breath away this morning? We just have one more Sunday until Christmas. Think of that. Just one more Sunday and then Christmas. A week from tomorrow night, we'll be right back here meeting 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve. A week from tomorrow night, we'll be having our Christmas Eve service. Wow, Christmas really snuck up on us this year, didn't it? I know it did me. But I know also that early on this year, I decided I didn't need the pressure. I had way too much pressure in my life already this year. And I just decided I was going to do all my shopping online this year, all on Cyber Monday. If you get anything from me this year, I'll tell you exactly where it came from. And I'll tell you exactly what day I bought it. There were no lines in my life. There's no driving around. There's no traffic to fight. I just point and click, and I waited for everything to be delivered to my door. In fact, I let the packages just kind of accumulate. I was putting them in a back room, and Lynn said, you know, you ought to check and see if what's in those packages is what you actually ordered. I was just going to give people the Amazon box, you know. I figured it was in there. Why wouldn't it be in there? And it was. It was all in there. It was great. And now all I have to do is wait for the holidays, the holy day, the Christmas day. I look forward to coming home for Christmas. There's a real pull toward that if you'll let it happen. And I'm telling you, Joseph and Mary experienced it. Joseph and Mary were pulled from their Nazareth home to their ancestral home for the first Christmas. And they were pulled there not by choice, but by edict. The Greek word is dogma. It really surprised me when I read that in the text. I thought dogma was something that came from the Catholic Church, from the Pope, something spoken ex cathedra, a religious word. But no, dogma was a civil word as well, secular word, and it just meant law. A law was passed, or a decree was made. And that's how most translations translate the first verse that Randy read for us. In those days, the Bible says, a decree, a dogma, a law, no choice, went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, it was probably for tax purposes. Now, there's a real motivator that'll get you up and get you going, won't it? You got to pay your taxes. At least our IRS waits until after Christmas to send out the tax forms. You ever notice that? They wait until Christmas is over. Caesar didn't wait. Caesar didn't have to wait. Caesar was Caesar. Caesar probably had a boat payment to make. Whatever the reason, Caesar decreed. Mary and Joseph had no choice. They obeyed, as well as the rest of the Roman world. Now think about that for a minute, because this is not the usual Christmas picture that we see. How many times have we seen Joseph and Mary pictured as traveling down some dark and deserted road? Joseph's leading the donkey and Mary's riding on the donkey's back. It's a donkey that the Bible says nothing about, by the way. And a lonely and deserted road probably couldn't have been found on that day. With all the known world trying to get home, by Caesar's decree, they had to get home. Verse 3 of our text actually says, and all went to be registered, each to his own home. We talked about 54 million out of the 300 or 400 million in our country that were on the roads. Imagine everyone having to return to their ancestral homes. And verse 4 says, it was Joseph also among those millions who went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Being great with child is what the old King James Version said. Why were Joseph and Mary out enduring such a difficult trek of more than 70 miles and at least 3 or 4 days through mountainous terrain? This had to be a particularly grueling journey for Mary, right on the verge of delivery. So why are they out doing this? Because they're being pulled. And I wonder if Joseph and Mary's weary arrival in Bethlehem looked something more like this.
Excuse me, friend. Could you point me to a well in this town? My wife hasn't had a drink in hours.
At the other end of the square.
Thank you, brother.
Well, wait. Here.
Oh, thank you for your kindness.
How far have you come?
From Galilee, Nazareth.
Don't say that too loud here. You know they say nothing good can come from...
I know what they say about Nazareth.
Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Secret safe with me.
Thank you for the kindness.
And my name is Simon.
Out of my way.
We must go.
Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. A reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah.
What was it that drew Joseph and Mary along? What was it that pulled them all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, only to receive what probably was not a very welcomed reception? Well, Luke says it was Caesar's decree. And yes, I'm sure that was the main part of it, but I'm also wondering if there might not have been something more. I'm wondering if it might not have also had something to do with the hand of the Lord. Joseph and Mary are pictured as very faithful servants who are listening to the Lord. And Mary always responds yes to the Lord. She'll be the Lord's handmaiden, no matter what it costs her. And though Joseph has no speaking part in the New Testament story, which, just a word to the wise, if you're ever asked to play a part in the Christmas play, choose Joseph. Has no lines in the Christmas story. He always obeys and does whatever he's told. And I'm wondering if Joseph and Mary might not have been so concerned about listening to the Lord that they may have discovered Micah's prophecy of where this Christ child, of which the angel had spoken, was to be born. I wonder if Joseph and Mary had asked the same question down in Nazareth that King Herod asked up in Jerusalem when he assembled there all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where this Christ child was to be born, and they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means among the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. I'm wondering if that wasn't part of the pull that drew Joseph and Mary along such a difficult journey. The knowledge of where it was that God said his baby was to be born. Come on, Mary, you can make it just a little further. Lead on, Joseph. Bethlehem's the place. God's baby's got to be born. Why? Because God says so. Are you and I interested, as interested, in doing what God says? I'm wondering if that wasn't a strong pull that moved Joseph and Mary along. I'm also wondering if Joseph and Mary didn't look forward to introducing each other to members of their ancestral families. Remember, they're pledged to be married. Two families are going to be introduced to one another. Is Mary looking forward to introducing Joseph to this near kinsman we read about in the Bible named Elizabeth and her priestly husband named Zechariah and their newly born son, John? And Joseph, is he looking forward to introducing Mary to his ancestral family? I don't know. I only know that sometimes in this life, especially during the special times in this life, there can be a strong, strong pull that draws us all home. No place like home for the holidays. This is why Jacob in the Old Testament made his sons promise that they would bury him beside his wife back in Canaan land before he died in Egypt. Last promise he made, he made his sons make. The father of Israel, the father of Israel, said, don't you let me be buried in Egypt. You take me back home and bury me in the cave beside my beloved wife, Rachel. It's why Daniel opened his window towards Jerusalem before he got down on his knees and prayed three times a day, every day, in Babylon. Why did he open his window towards Jerusalem and pray? That was where his home was. It's why the Israelite captives sat by the rivers in Babylon. They wept, the Bible says, when they remembered Zion, the city of David, because they didn't need a little girl from Kansas wearing ruby slippers to tell them there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Those slaves in Babylon who'd been taken from Jerusalem wept beside the Babylonian rivers and sang, there's no place like home. It's why Israelites all around the world, even today, are asked to pray for Jerusalem. Because to them, Jerusalem is their what? Home. And home has a strong, strong pull, especially when you are away. Just as the New Jerusalem is home for all New Testament believers, the New Jerusalem has the same strong pull upon our hearts because the New Jerusalem is our home. I've been to the old city of Jerusalem, and I admit there are lots of things to see there. There's lots of things to be reminded of there. We have one within our congregation who is right now trying to decide if she might go there later next year. But heaven is our home, and we all want to go there, amen? The New Jerusalem, because that is the place that Jesus has gone on to prepare, and that is the place where our loved ones wait for us to come and join them there.
And when we think of heaven and we think of what waits for us there and who waits for us there, we can't help but join the New Testament saints in saying, Maranatha, oh Lord, come and take us home, because there truly is no place like home. Amen. If you don't have that strong desire pulling upon your hearts, you really need to question your faith. This world is not my what? Home. Why? We're just passing through. My home is way up yonder in the blue. We don't want anyone to miss out on that home going, because that place is truly a big, big house, and there's room for all. Now, that's a song I first heard back in the 90s, and I can tell you exactly where I was when I first heard it. I was sitting outside at Round Lake Christian Camp on the ground with my back leaned up against the lodge wall. I had about 100 little day campers around me. Jamie Stafford had gone up with me to try to keep order as this young teenager tried to teach us all a new song. None of us knew this song. Kids didn't know it, as far as I knew. I certainly didn't know it. Jamie didn't know it. And as I sat there and I listened to this little ditty and I smiled and I pretended that this was something I was really excited about, I thought to myself, I don't know where this young whippersnapper got this tune, but this song doesn't cut it. This is not going to get it. And that's when I began to see this song pulling at all the little heartstrings of these little boys and girls and creating within them a desire to one day go to this kind of a home. Some of you know the song now. It says, come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room and a big, big table with lots and lots of food and a big, big yard where we can play football. Come and go with me to my Father's house. I don't know about you, but that brings back memories to me. Memories of family dinner around the picnic table. Now, the picnic table was our dinner table at the Andrews house. We had a picnic table in the kitchen. Picnic benches on both sides, and the family gathered around the table for all our meals. We always ate our meals together. I know this is a new world, but we always ate our meals together, and we weren't allowed to touch the food until it was prayed for. And we learned to play tricks on them benches. You know, you can get someone to sit on one end of the bench and the rest of us on three. We all hop up, and it was a lot of fun. You know, we played a lot of family games around that picnic table. We always squabbled over who prayed last and whose turn it was to pray next, but no one was eating a bite until somebody said, okay, I'll pray. And then the prayer began. And after dinner, we all hustled up the hill, at least after the Sunday dinners, to play touch football in the field up there that we cleared. And I got to tell you, those were great days in my life. The memories I have of the day, I remember one day I went to the edge of that field up on top of the hill. The house is way, way down below. And my older brother talked me into a dare. He said, I bet you can't punt that football down on the house. We had an aluminum roof on that house. I'm about 200 feet, 300 feet above the house. But I kick that football out and it falls over. I could hear the thunder on the hill of what happened down there at the house when that ball hit the top. Those were great days. Wasn't too great when I went down the hill, but up on top of the hill, that was a great, great day. If heaven is anything like that, man, I want to go there, amen? The pull is strong for me to get there. I want to go there, and I want you to go there too. I hope you all know that's why I'm in this business. It breaks my heart when people turn down God's invitation to go. It's what it's all about. Whosoever will come without cost, without price, whosoever will come drink the waters of life freely. It breaks my heart when no one comes. The reason I'm in this business is so I want to come. I want to go there, and I want you to go there. But as badly as I want you to go there, God wants you home more. We've kind of talked from the child's perspective so far this morning. How a grown child has this draw to return home. But mom and dad has a desire for the kids to come where? Home. Imagine God's desire. Imagine how much He wants you home. I want to go. I want you to go. But not nearly as much as God wants you to come home. And that's why, while Joseph and Mary were there, after God had pulled Joseph and Mary there, even using a decree by Caesar all the way across the Mediterranean in Rome to get them there, that's why when the time came for her to give birth, the Bible says she did give birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Yes, because there's no room in the inn, that's true. But also because God wasn't through drawing all men to Himself. Men, women, and children. Do you see how people are drawn even to the nativity? 21st century people still drawn to the ancient nativity. And the Bible says it's by God's plan, because God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through that Son might be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever would believe would not have to perish, but could have eternal life. So God sent His Son into this world to say to this world, and these are the words of Jesus, "And I, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." And He said this to show what kind of death He would die. That death would draw all men to Christ so that He could take them home. And it continues to draw people to Christ today. It has drawn you here this day. And together we remember that death. We thank God for that death. And we pray that death will draw everyone here, not a soul missing, home to God one day. And God's people said,